Let's just seek the Lord's face, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy mercy that finds us here. O God, help us, Lord, to worship Thee. O God, we pray that today we might all do business with the Lord. Lord, that this day will be a blessed day. O God, we pray that You'll just help us now, aid us, Lord, in this time of worship. Through all, may Thy name be glorified. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 25. Hymn number 25, the words will be on the screen as well. Come, my brethren, praise your Savior. Let your songs with rapture swell. Through His grace have ye found favor, who His boundless love can tell. Sing His praises, for He hath done all things well. Hymn number 25, we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's take this opportunity just to seal ourselves in His presence and ask for His help in this service of worship this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee again this morning that we can draw ourselves aside into Thy presence. We thank the Lord today for the privilege, Lord, that is ours to come into the very throne room of heaven. We thank the Lord for the access that we have to Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for our Savior. We thank the Lord today for the one who loved us, one on the cross of Calvary died for us, for the one who made it possible that we might be brought to God. And Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today in and through the name that is above all other names, that name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we pray, Lord, that You'll help us today. Aid us, O God, in our worship of Thee. O God, we need Thee. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll come and remove every distracting thought. And Heavenly Father, we pray that for this time, we may know what it is, Lord, to be shut in with Thee. O God, we pray for a very real sense of Thy presence. We pray, Lord, for the very atmosphere, Lord, of this place of worship this morning, Lord, to be permeated by the Spirit of the living God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll come and pour out your Spirit upon us. We pray, Lord, today that we might know that we're in the presence of the living God. Lord, that we might hear thy voice. Lord, that we might, Lord, be so very conscious, Lord, that you're here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that today you'll tune our hearts to sing thy praise. Lord, open our eyes to behold thy word. Oh God, we pray that today thy word will dwell in us richly. Our Father, we pray that today you'll remember us for good. We ask, oh God, you'll take, oh God, of our thanks for thy presence with us this day already. Lord, for the seasons of prayer, Lord, that have already taken place. Lord, for the children that have been in the Sunday school, for the young people that have been in the Bible class. Oh God, we pray that thy word will live on in young hearts. And Father, we pray that as we now come to this time of worship, oh God, we pray that we might truly know what it is to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh God, forbid that we should merely go through motions. God forbid, Lord, that we should just go through the rituals of a service. Oh God, we pray that today you'll come. Lord, take us out of the ordinary. And Lord, do something extraordinary amongst us and for us today. Oh God, we pray, come and move in this place. Move in our hearts, we pray. Stir, Lord, everyone, Lord, who owns the name of Christ. Oh God, we pray for that sound of abundance of rain. Lord, we long to see that cloud, the size of a man's hand. Oh God, we pray, pour out your Spirit. Lord, pour out the Spirit of the living God upon us. Lord, we are dry, we are barren. Lord, where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. So Lord, breathe into this heart of mine. Lord, we pray for help, Lord, throughout this day. We pray, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, as we come to the Word this morning. Help us, Lord, as we come to the gospel tonight. We pray, Lord, you'll bless in Hollywood this afternoon. Lord, bless in the seasons of prayer later on this evening as well. Oh God, we pray that this will be a blessed day. This will be a good day. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that it'll be a day that will set us up, Lord, for the week that lies before us. And Lord, we would remember this gospel mission. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to go and to preach Christ. We thank the Lord that this day that we have a message, Lord, that will change and transform lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray that right from the very opening meeting tomorrow night, Lord, we pray that lives will be transformed. Bring in the unsaved. Lord, bring in the stoutest of sinners. Oh God, we pray, break them down. Oh God, may thy Spirit speak to their hearts. Convict them of their sin and save their precious, never-dying souls. We pray, Lord, that night after night, Lord, that there will be, Lord, that real sense of thy presence. Oh God, we pray that you'll come. Save souls every night. Bring in the lost. Lord, bring in the unsaved. Lord, we pray for every home that has been visited. Lord, for every invitation that has been given out. Oh God, for everyone who has seen the posters. For all, Lord, who know that this mission is on. Oh God, we pray that you'll bring in people. Oh God, we ask, Lord, that you'll help in the preaching. Oh God, we pray that while it'll come in, Lord, simplicity and plainness, Lord, we pray that it'll come most of all in power of God the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we pray, Lord, shake Dundonald, we ask of thee. Move in that area, we pray. Move in that community. So many, Lord, lives, so many homes, so many families, and yet so few that have any care about their soul. Oh God, we pray that it'll be noised abroad of what God is doing. So come, oh God, we pray. Bless us, we pray, Lord, as a congregation. Keep your hand upon us for good. Remember, Lord, those who need thee today. Oh God, we pray you'll draw very near, Lord, to those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies, we pray. Minister to their needs. Raise, Lord, them to that desired measure of health and strength once again. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Bless the going forth of thy word, not only in this place, but, Lord, across our land. Remember, Lord, this city of Belfast. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll drive back the evil and the wickedness, Lord, that is abounding. Oh God, we pray for the floods on a thirsty land. We pray for our province. We pray, Lord, for our land, for our nation. Oh God, we pray that this day we'll see, Lord, God at work. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll bless those who are laboring for thee in far-off places. Encourage our missionaries. Raise up others, oh God, we pray, to go at the call of God with the glorious message of the gospel. We pray, Lord, you'll remember the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who are meeting today in fear of their lives, and yet, Lord, they're still meeting. And encourage them, bless them, and strengthen their faith, we pray. So hear and answer prayer, and continue to be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to the book of 2 Kings this time. 2 Kings and the chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. As we continue on in our series looking at the life of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read together the first 11 verses of this chapter, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's hear the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As thy soul liveth, and as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me welcome you all this morning along to our morning service. We're glad to see you in the Savior's great name. And we pray the Lord will bless us all richly as we have gathered in his house today. So thank you for being with us this morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you this morning as well. Can I just remind you of the matters that are before us for today and the week that lies ahead of us in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon, 2:30. Do remember that, please. And then we have another season of prayer. As you know, we have set this day aside for a day of prayer for the gospel mission. We have an extended season of prayer before the gospel service today at 5:30. And if you can come, please, we'd love to have you join with us for that extended season of prayer up in the back room at 5:30 this afternoon. And then the gospel service tonight at 6:30. And our brother Jonathan Mitchell, God willing, will be here to sing. And then there is one final season of prayer immediately after the gospel meeting tonight. So please, if you can, come and join with us for these times of seeking the Lord, especially for the mission that lies before us. Now, in relation to the mission, some practical things that just need to be sorted tonight. We want to get the van packed up and things sorted to take down to the hall in the morning, God willing. So if you can help and stay behind just for a little time afterwards to pack books and get the piano down and chairs and whatever, if you can help with that, that would certainly be much appreciated. That'll be straight after the prayer meeting tonight. So do remember then the gospel mission. It starts tomorrow night. It was to be held 2 years ago, but now we're holding it this week. And we're thankful for the Lord for the opportunity to have this time of gospel outreach there in Dundonald Orange Hall. And I trust you'll be here there as many nights, if not all nights. There's only 5 nights, and they will soon be over. And so I trust you'll plan to be with us night after night. Can I thank all those who helped in getting the invitations out? Almost 10,000 invitations were put around doors in Dundonald this past week, and that is no small task. And we want to thank you sincerely for all who helped during the day and also at night as well. Thank you in the Lord's name for all that you have done. But keep praying and keep believing and keep inviting and seek to bring someone in night after night. So please do remember the mission Monday through to Friday, each night at 8 o'clock. I'll be speaking Monday through to Thursday, and then on Friday night, our brother Matthew Hunter will be along to share with us his testimony of how the Lord saved him. And so I trust you'll be with us. Remember as well, there'll be prayer seasons as well before each of the meetings from 20 to 8, just for 10 or 15 minutes before the meetings each night, if you can come and join with us for those seasons of prayer. So let's do what we can this week and do as much as we can as we seek to see others won for Christ and see the gospel going forth. There will be no meetings then in the church this week as a result of the meetings in Dundonald. And then we come to our services next Lord's Day, all at the usual times, 10:15 Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30 our morning worship, 2:30 Sunday school, and then 6 o'clock our prayer time, followed by our gospel service at 6:30. And God willing, I'll be here to preach at both of those services. Our brother David Warwick will be here to sing next Lord's Day evening. I should say there'll be singers as well during the nights of the mission this week. Missionary Council offering last week came to £417. And again, we want to thank you for your giving to the Missionary Council of our denomination. That is a good offering. We want to thank you for that. Do continue to remember those who need our prayers. Do pray that the Lord will undertake. We're delighted that our sister Jennifer has been able to get home again. Pray for her. Pray the Lord will keep his hand upon her in the days that are before us. Do remember as well our brother Jim Armstrong. Jim was in hospital this past week, spent a little longer in hospital than he had planned to, but he is home again, got home yesterday. Do remember Jim in your prayers. And we're glad Derek is all back again. And don't go anywhere near Derek because he's got a very big plaster in his hand during the week, and got a little procedure on his hand. Glad to have you with us today. The Lord bless you. Derek, also good to see Richard back with us, and the Lord bless you and keep his hand upon you, Richard, as well. And to others, many who need our prayers, there are a lot of sick people, and they all need our prayers, and let's pray the Lord will bless them and touch them. We have the seniors' outing coming up very soon. That's Wednesday week, Wednesday the 25th of May. If you haven't as yet got your menu and your money back to Colin, then please do that today if at all possible. And do remember that seniors' outing. I still don't know where we're going. It's a mystery tour. And so you come along with us if you fall into that bracket. And even if you don't fall into that bracket, you're welcome to join with us as well. So remember that. That's Wednesday, the 25th of May, leaving the church here in the morning time at 9 a.m. But if you haven't got your money back, your money to Colin, your menu to Colin, please do that as soon as possible, please, so that those arrangements can be made. Then do remember we have our church family day to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. That'll be on Saturday the 4th of June in the Scout Centre there in Crawfordsburn Country Park. An afternoon of festivities and fun planned for all people, young and old. And then There'll be the barbecue, and then there'll be also a time of fellowship afterwards, and some will be along to sing for us, and also our brother Brian Galt will be along to testify. So we want you to use this as another time of opportunity and seek to bring people in that maybe wouldn't come into a mission or come into a church, and use this as an opportunity to bring them and invite them along. We'll get names for that very, very soon. Finally, do remember that the offering boxes are available there as you leave, and you can place your offerings and tithes as you leave. And all of these announcements, of course, are made subject to the Lord's will. Let's sing together the words of hymn number 182 just before we come to God's word for this morning. 182, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Dear Lord, to me as Thou didst break the bread beside the sea. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn 182, and let's sing on to the Lord. Let's come again to the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 2, please. 2 Kings and the chapter 2. Want this morning to look at the subject of the character of the committed, as we see it here in the life of Elisha. But before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His face in prayer, please. I encourage you to pray with us, pray for us, and pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord will speak to your heart through His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the bread of life. We thank Thee, O God, today for the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll just come, Lord, and break, Lord, Thy Word to our hearts today. And break our hearts as well to Thy Word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for that work that work to be wrought in all of our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray that today you'll teach us, you'll instruct us, Lord, as we come again to consider the life of this man, Elisha. Oh God, we pray that we might strive to be as he was. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us. Lord, we pray now for the Spirit of God to open our eyes, to open our hearts. We pray, Lord, for the Spirit of God to hear, the Spirit of God to preach. Lord, we just pray today that through the help of the Spirit of the living God, thy name would be glorified in all that would be said. So answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word commitment means the following. It means a promise to do something or to behave in a particular way. It's a promise to support somebody or something. It talks about committing yourself. Cambridge Dictionary defines commitment as a promise or a firm decision to do something. Therefore, commitment, as we understand it in our English language, is to stick at the task, to stay at a job, no matter what may come. And as we look this morning, as we continue on our studies in the life of this man, Elisha, I trust that we'll see that Elisha was the very embodiment of commitment. He was commitment personified. And on our study of this man today, I want us to see how that Elisha demonstrated and how that he displayed commitment, because right from the very start of his calling, Elisha was committed. You see, Elisha didn't develop this commitment over a period of time, over a period of years. But right from the very start, he was committed. In many ways, we have seen how that he was committed when immediately he left his plowing and ran after Elijah, as we saw last week. But particularly as we come in now to 2 Kings in chapter 2, we find Elisha's commitment and his loyalty being put to the test. Because you see, folks, it's the easiest thing in the world to say, yes, I'm committed. But it's an entirely different thing to show that commitment. It's the easiest thing in the world to say that I'm with you in the work of God, and yet when the work needs to be done, there's little sign of that commitment. I think we could all learn lessons from Elisha about what it really means to be committed in the work of God, to stick at the work of God, and to do the work of God. Now, before we come into 2 Kings chapter 2, it's important to point out that between 1 Kings 19, when Elisha was called, and now his actual taking up of the role of God as God's spokesman here in 2 Kings, there's a period of some 20, maybe 30 years. But during that period of waiting, Elisha remained committed. During that period of waiting to take over from Elijah, he remained firm throughout all of those years. And as a result, he was rewarded, and we'll see something about that today. Yet for this time, God was going to test this commitment of Elisha one more time. Therefore, this morning, we want to look at the character of the committed. The first thing I want us to notice here is the resolve. The resolve that is tested. The resolve that is tested. Because as we come into chapter 2 of 2 Kings, we come to Elijah's last day on this earth. The great prophet of fire, his life, his ministry is coming now to an end. But before the Lord takes him home to heaven in the whirlwind, both he and Elisha are taken on a journey. And the resolve of Elisha is tested on this journey. And there are some aspects of Elisha's life that's tested here in this journey. This journey that ultimately would end in Elijah being taken to heaven in that whirlwind. But let's notice some aspects of the resolve of Elisha that was tested. First of all, I want you to see that his faithfulness was tested. His faithfulness. You see, three times on this journey, Elijah says to Elisha, look at verse 2, tarry here, I pray thee. Verse 4, he says the same thing, tarry here, I pray thee. And also in verse 6, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. It was a test that Elijah was giving. Would Elisha leave? Would Elisha go back, or would Elisha do as he said he was going to do, and that is to run after and to go after Elijah? You see, Elijah was not actually commanding Elisha to stay where he was. Rather, he was testing Elisha, testing his resolve to follow him, and in so doing, follow the Lord. He was testing his faithfulness. This was an opportunity for Elisha to turn back. At each time Elisha resolved and he said to Elijah, I will not leave thee. Look at the end of verse 2. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. The end of verse 4. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And at the end of verse 6, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on together. You see, this was a test of the faithfulness of God's servant to the work and to the witness of the Lord. This was unity in the work of God. Here was God's servant, faithful, resolved, determined, no matter what may come, to continue on this journey, not to stop. Do you know, people at times like to spiritualize their own faithfulness. Well, God told me to leave. God told me this and God told me that, when God told them nothing of the sort. It's the easiest thing to leave when things are hard and difficult. It's tempting to leave off the work of God when it seems so hard to do the work of God. Dear believer today, stay faithful, stay committed, stay at the work. Don't be a Demas. Don't be that one who left the work having loved this present world. But rather be an Elisha who said, I will not leave thee. Stay loyal to God's work. Stay at God's work. You see, Elijah and ultimately the Lord was testing Elisha's faithfulness, not to a man, not to Elijah, but to his master. And we're not to be faithful to man. We're to be faithful to the Lord. So the resolve that was tested, we see it in his faithfulness. But we also see it in his steadfastness. As we've said, these men are on a journey. The journey that Elijah took Elisha on was hard, was difficult. Over 30 miles, we're told, they traveled in that one day, traveled on foot. It was hard, it was laborious in the heat of the eastern sun. But Elisha kept up the pace. He was steadfast. And how much we need that character today. It would have been so easy for Elisha to have stopped when the going got hard and tough. And sadly, people leave off following the Lord when the going does get tough. And sadly, people have left off following the Lord through this pandemic. Haven't even got back to church to worship God publicly. What on earth would they do in times of persecution? Church has become too comfortable. Church has become too convenient. Switch on the computer. tune in now and again just to ease the conscience, but have given up on gathering together with God's people. There's no steadfastness. I want to commend all who over the course of this pandemic stayed and remained faithful. And through the various issues that we faced as a congregation, remained faithful, remained steadfast, remained true. Like those whom David spoke of in 1 Samuel, the chapter 30 and the verse 24, when the Amalekites came to destroy the city of Ziklag. The children of Israel sought to reclaim back those things that the enemy had taken. Those who remained faithful when the enemy came in and attacked. And David says of them that they tarried by the stuff. In other words, they remained steadfast. They remained faithful in that place where God had called them to. They didn't leave. Elisha remained steadfast. His faithfulness, his steadfastness. But also we want to see that in this resolve, his trustworthiness was also tested. As Elisha and Elijah went on that journey that day, they came to two places where there were two schools of prophets. We would call them Bible colleges today. One was in Bethel, verse 3, and the other was in Gilgal. And as they journeyed on this journey, and as they came to Bethel, these Bible students, they came out and they chided Elisha. Look at verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? In other words, Elisha, are you really up for this task? You're taking over from the great prophet Elijah. Are you really up for the task? Do you know what you're about? They were trying to discourage God's servant. And yet Elisha was able to say, yea, in verse 3, yea, I know it. Yea, I know it. You see, they doubted Elisha's ability and understanding of all that lay ahead of him. Yet God was proving Elisha to be trustworthy, to be dependable. Others may not have been encouraging. And folks, when you do a work for the Lord, there can be the discouragers, there can be the dissenters even amongst the people of God. And it would be the easiest thing in the world to listen to them, to give in and to give up. Elisha proved himself trustworthy, to be dependable. You see, there needs to be stickability in the work of God. Not to walk away, not to give up, not to go back, but to press on, even when things are hard and tough. These sons of the prophets, they should have been encouraging God's servant. Dear Christian, press on. Keep living for God. You'll not always get patted in the back for doing it. But keep on going forward with Him despite what others may be saying or what other situations you may face and find yourself in like Elisha. Press on. Prove yourself to be trustworthy in the work of God. You see, one big test of our commitment is that often we'll have to stand alone. As Elisha, we will see, had to do. Elijah had to stand alone against the 450 prophets of Baal, but he stood alone. The resolve that is tested here, his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his trustworthiness. But I want you to notice something more about the character of the committed. Not only the resolve that is tested, I want you to see secondly here, there is the requirement that is needed. The requirement that is needed. Look at verse 9. And I know we've already made mention of this verse in our opening study on this man, but we want to come back to it again today. Because in verse number 9, the character of Elisha's commitment again was being put to the test. Just before Elijah went back to heaven, he asked Elisha the question, What shall I do for thee? Notice the words in verse 9. It came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. Elijah was saying to Elisha, don't pray to me whenever I'm gone, but before I'm taken, pray. There's a whole sermon there about praying to the dead saints. There's absolutely no point in it. But the answer that Elisha gave speaks volumes of the commitment of this man. Look what he says in verse 9. Elisha said unto thee, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He didn't ask to be a better preacher or a better prophet than Elijah. He didn't ask for many, many things to be done. He simply asked for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon him, for that double portion. As we think of this requirement, I want you to see here there is the speed of this request. Because Elijah had no sooner asked the question than Elisha gave the answer. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You see, he seized that opportunity and he quickly sought for the Holy Spirit to be upon his life and his work. How we need to seize the opportunities that the Lord gives us. Not to be lazy, not to be indifferent, but to seize that opportunity. This week of gospel mission in Dundonald Orange Hall is another opportunity that the Lord has given to us. And seize it with all of your might. Get out every night. Bring others with you. Don't be sitting at home. Get out and seize this opportunity. Notice that this request that Elisha asked for was a spiritual one, not a material or a temporal one. It didn't involve his physical life, but rather his spiritual. And Elisha was more concerned about the spiritual than he was about the material. Are we not to be more concerned about our spiritual lives than we are to be about our physical lives? Yes, by all means, look after your body and take exercise and take up hobbies and whatever, but don't let those things become a god in your life. Don't let earthly things come and crowd out God in your life. There's nothing more important to the child of God. There should be nothing more important to the child of God than our spiritual walk with God. Where are you today with God? How's your walk today with God? The one who walks close with the Lord, seeks by the help of the Spirit of the Lord to live for Him, will remain committed and steadfast in the work of God. We see the speed, but I want you to see as well the size. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion. A double portion. And Elijah says in verse 10, look at it, thou hast asked a hard thing. A hard thing. But not an impossible thing. Oh, too often we can put God in a small box. We can limit God. We can limit His ability, but not Elisha. He asked a hard thing, a double portion of the Spirit of God. Ought we not to have the same attitude? Ought we not to ask God our large petitions? And remember, as we pointed out in a previous time, Elisha was not living in a time of revival. Elisha was not living in a time when many were flocking to the Word of God. Yet he asked a hard thing. Hymn writer said, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." And you know, folks, in praying, we need to go for gold. We need to plead and to pray down the blessing that we need so much. I've asked you to pray for a soul to be saved every night this week. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing just to get the unsaved into the meeting. But it seems such an even harder thing to see one's soul saved each night. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Oh, folks, let's not be satisfied with where we are. Let's not be content and at ease in Zion, just going through rituals and motions. Let's pray big prayers. Let's go the extra mile this week. Let's do something more for God. Let's not give up until God moves. Let's pray for our unsaved family members to come in. And for those that have been reached with the gospel this week, almost 10,000 homes have been reached with the gospel, and have only 1% of those came in. Only 1%. My, we think we were in revival. Seems a hard request. But God can answer that prayer. You're praying for people. You're asking people to come in. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep asking them. We see the speed of this request. We see as well the size of it. But I want you to see as well there's the sensitivity. Let a double portion of thy Spirit be upon me. You see, when Elisha made this request, he was sensitive to the great need of his life. He was sensitive to the great need of his work, and that was for power. That was for power. Oh, that we would be sensitive to our great need. Oh, that we would have the wisdom and the sense to see how much we need the power of God in our lives. May we never become so puffed up with ourselves that we forget that without God we can do nothing. May we never become so at ease in Zion that we neglect asking for the power of God to rest upon our lives. We can pray around the world and we can pray for everybody, but are we praying for ourselves that God would fill us with the power of God that we need to live for Him? Elisha knew what he needed. He needed God's power to rest upon him. May we see that need today. As we go into this gospel mission, we need the power of God to rest upon us. We need the Spirit of God to come and breathe over Dundalk and to take the preached word. It'll come with simplicity and plainness. They'll not be coming in to hear this preacher, I can assure you. They'll be coming in, I trust, to hear the Word of God. We've been living in the shadows now for years. We've been living in past blessings now for years. And we're hanging on the coattails of what our forefathers done. But today we need a new infilling and a new endowment of power from God. We need another Pentecost. We need God to move today. We need an outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit, upon our lives. We don't need rules and regulations. We need God today. And that's exactly what Elisha prayed for. The
Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon him. Oh God, give us that sensitivity to the great need of the hour, that God would move, the Spirit of the Lord would take a dealing. There's the resolve that is tested. There's the requirement that is needed. But finally, I want you to notice here, there is the result that is noted. You see, when God blesses his people, and when God blesses his work and blesses those who remain committed to him, it is seen. The results are noted. The results are evident. God's people will see it. Look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it. What did he see? He saw the power of God. He saw the majesty of God descending. Elisha saw it. He remained faithful, committed, and steadfast with Elijah, and God blessed that faithfulness. God blessed that commitment. He reaped the benefits. Elisha had to wait, but I tell you, it was worth the wait. He had to wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled and for the power of God to be poured out, but it was worth the wait because he saw the promise being fulfilled, as we'll see in later studies. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise." Need of patience after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. As we think of this result, I want you to notice the proximity of it. Notice in verse 12, as we saw, that Elisha saw it. Elisha was in close proximity to the demonstration of God. He had the best seat in the house. He was right in the middle of the majesty and the power of God being revealed. He was there because he paid the price, because he remained committed, and he saw God move in a remarkable way. I often remember Dr. Paisley saying what it would be for God to come in a mighty, mighty move of the Holy Spirit, and yet if you were to miss it because you weren't there. What it would be for God to come to Dundonald Orange Hall this week and you were to miss it because you weren't there. Elisha saw it. Contrast that with the prophets, the Bible students in verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. They saw it, but they were afar off. And sadly, many Christians just want to stand back, don't want to get involved, want to stand on the sidelines, criticize, complain, and then lose out on the blessing of God. Don't be a sideliner. Don't be a backbencher. Get involved, get active, get busy in the work of God, and then when God blesses, you'll experience it, and you'll see it for yourself. They stood afar off. They witnessed from far. But Elisha saw it firsthand. What it would be for us this week, for all of us to witness God at work firsthand. There's the proximity of this result, but notice the place of it. Where were these results noted? Where did Elisha get this power? Verse 13, it was by the bank of Jordan. By the bank of Jordan. Jordan is a symbol of death. That's telling us, that's speaking to us, that Elisha had to come to that place where he died to himself. He died to his own will. He died to his own ambitions. And we all need to come to that place of surrender and submission to what God wants of us, to give Him first place in our lives, to give Him that priority in our lives. Elisha experienced the power of God. He endured the course. He remained faithful. And he showed great stamina and great stability in the work of God because he died to his own self. Philip Brooks said that it does not take great men to do great things. And thank God for that. It only takes committed men. In the book One Crowded Hour, written by Tim Bowden, on the life of the wartime cameraman and journalist Neil Davis, Bowden describes an incident in Borneo in 1964. The Nepalese fighters, known as the Gurkhas, were asked if they would be willing to jump from their airplanes into combat against the Indonesians. The Gurkhas didn't really fully understand what they were being asked to do or all that involved, but they bravely said, "Yes, we will. We'll defend our land, we'll defend our country." But they asked one thing. They said that when we're ready to jump, would you just make sure that the plane is flying very slowly over a swampy area and no higher than 100 feet? Their commander says, "Well, you don't need to worry about that because there's going to be parachutes for you." You see, the Gurkhas didn't even realize that they were going to have parachutes that would safely land them, but they were willing to go. They were committed. Whatever the cost, it might have cost them their lives, but they were willing to go. The great late tenor singer Pavarotti, he writes in his memoirs that when he was a boy, his father asked him and introduced him to the wonders of song. And he urged him to work very hard to develop his voice. And in his book, he wrote that there was a professional tenor in his hometown of Modena in Italy. And he took him in as a pupil. But also that same time, Pavarotti enrolled in a teacher's college. And on graduating, Pavarotti asked his father, "Shall I be a singer or shall I be a teacher?" Luciano, his father, replied, says, "If you try to sit on two chairs, you'll fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." And Pavarotti goes on to say, "I chose one. And for years of study and frustration and concentration, I strove to become the greatest singer that this world had ever heard." And he says it took 7 years of hard, dedicated, committed work for his first professional appearance at the Metropolitan Opera. And then he says this. He says, "Now I think whether it's laying bricks or writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment. That's the key. Choose one chair." Folks, let's choose one chair this week. Let's choose one place in the work of God. And let's commit ourselves to this work. Let's stay at this work. Elisha was committed. He was consecrated. And as a result, it brought great contentment. And we didn't care where his service for the Lord was going to take him. He was just willing to go. Elisha knew nothing. He knew nothing of what was ahead of him. But as we will go on to see the many great miracles that God did through Elisha, he was committed. He stuck at the work. He stayed at it. And may God give us such a commitment. To be committed to this work Throw your lot in entirely, totally, with the work of God here. And as you do so, see the Lord bless and see the Lord demonstrate His power. Whatever you do, don't be like those sons of the prophets and stand afar off. Don't miss out on the blessing of God. Do we believe? Do we believe that as we go to this gospel mission this week, that God can save souls? Well, if we believe it, then we'll want to see it. Let's pray believing. And let's come up every night with that spirit of expectancy. What is the Lord going to do tonight? Let's remain committed. Let's stay focused on the work that lies before us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the character of this man, Elisha. We thank Thee, Lord, for his commitment, for his steadfastness. And, O God, we pray that You'll help us to stay the course. Help us, Lord, in this week that lies before us to do what we can, to do all that we can. O God, we pray that other things will come a very distant second. And Lord, that we will choose one chair, that we will choose to follow Christ with all of our hearts and lives. Bless Thy word to our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Let's turn to the hymn number 500, please. Hymn number 500. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Hymn number 500, and we'll stand together as we sing this final hymn, please.
Father, we pray that you will take the world. Give us Jesus. O God, we pray that we might dedicate our lives afresh to thee. Lord, help each one that names the name of Christ. Help us all to be sold out for thee. And Father, we pray that you'll take our thanks, Lord, for thy presence, for the word of God. Speak on, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that even throughout the hours of this afternoon that we'll meditate, consider, contemplate the word. As we pray, Sunday school in Hollywood, Lord, bless our seasons of prayer before the service and after the service. Remember their gospel tonight, we pray. Oh, God, we pray, start tonight. Save a soul tonight, we pray. Someone, bring someone in, Lord. From the ways of sin, bring them to Christ. Help us to believe. And help us, Lord, to remain faithful. So bless thy word to our hearts and go with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.